Chapter 18. Redhaven minus one, plus one. Water, so rare a commodity on arid Mars, ran wastefully from a loose pipe connector. Orange slime furred the join, a mix of rust and biological contamination that hung half a meter down the wall. The water ran down this trailing, slimy beard, dripping silently into a slick puddle more algae than moisture. This patch of errant water was the only distinguishing feature of the pressure release chamber Yendel waited in. Rust streaked the walls. A dead servo skull, perhaps the drone that was supposed to report on damage like the leak, lay dusty in the corner. No sign of water flooding was apparent. Evidently no pressure release had been needed in this part of the system for a long time. It was unremarkable. Overlooked. The ideal place for the cadre to meet. Yendel was tense, but calm. The sense of imminent discovery had lessened. She had a new identity, assumed at the cost of another's life. The orange robes of a mid-ranking data tech cloaked her stooped body. Her limbs twisted into a new shape. Even waiting for her fellows, she maintained the disguise. Yendel blinked. Mariazette Isolde was suddenly there in the round door drain at the base of the chamber ramp. Her face was new, polymorphine warped, but in the company of Yendel, she did not keep up the rest of her pretense. She moved as an assassin. Without sound, every footstep deliberate, her body the acme of poise. She joined Yendel. They did not speak. Haast was the last member of Redhaven to come.
"You are tardy," said Isolde.
"I was followed," said Haast.
"Did you lose them?" asked Yendel.
"Better than that," said Haast. "Wait." She disappeared for little over a minute, then returned carrying a man, gagged and bound hand and foot over her shoulder. He was larger than her, but she bore him easily. Haast dropped him on the rockcrete, hard.
"He's been trailing me a week now. I decided it was time to find out who he is."
"Vero is dead," said Yendel. Haast nodded, her eyes fixed on her prisoner.
"That I suspected," said Isolde. "I have had no word from her for some time."
"I was nearly discovered," said Yendel.
"Are we further compromised?" asked Isolde.
"They look for me, but cannot find me," said Yendel. "My information gathering suffers. I must find new access to the Martian noosphere. They're watching the old ways."
"That is acceptable," said Isolde. "Tybalt?"
"He is hidden still," said Haast. "I moved his cryopod a week ago and checked on it before coming here. No signs of detection."
"Then matters could be worse," said Isolde. "Let us deal with this one while we wait for the message."
Haast bent to the man's head and ripped his gag free. He looked at the three assassins confidently.
"We work to the same goals," he said without preamble. "I mean you no harm. You can release me."
"We will be the judge of that," said Yendel. "Who are you? Who do you work for?"
"Whoever I'm told to be. But I've been ordered to reveal my purpose should my life be threatened by you."
"I'd say it is threatened," said Isolde, her hand straying to her knife.
"I can only agree," said the man.
Isolde squatted down next to him.
"Your name is Raznik. You work for Venand."
"Now how did you come by that information?" said Raznik.
Isolde tapped her head.
"Memcore implant. I have a record of every inquisitorial agent active in the Sol system."
"The ones you know about," said Raznik.
"I know about you," said Isolde.
"Venand's dead," said Haast. "You're out of a job."
"Is she now?" said Raznik.
"What is your mission?" asked Yendel.
"Observation, nothing more. I was told to keep an eye on you, make sure Lord Vangerich doesn't have you do anything rash."
Isolde scowled.
"You of the Inquisition, the keepers of the Imperium, amateurs."
"Maybe I wanted to get caught," said Raznik.
"Right," said Isolde, "because you want me to make a hole in your brain. Clever."
"Shh,"
hissed Haast. Suddenly, all three members of the Assassinorum cell had pistols in their hands and trained on the drainage door.
A faint skittering came up the enclosed canal outside. Isolde moved to the bottom of the ramp. They waited as the pattering grew louder. A rat appeared in the door, weirdly long-limbed and long-bodied, a Terran animal adapted to the lower gravity conditions of Mars.
"It is here,"
said Isolde, holstering her weapon. The rat remained stock still as she bent down and picked it up. It immediately sank its teeth into the web of her thumb. Blood welled from the bite as she returned to the others and offered the rat to them. Yendel and Hast allowed it to bite them.
"Redhaven gathered," said Isolde.
"Redhaven confirmed," said the rat,
and expired in Hast's hands. Yendel extended a fine cutting tool from her augmetic hand and sliced the rat from jaw to the base of its tail. Hast spread the belly. Inside, the rat was mostly cybernetic, a tiny mechanism surrounded by meat. Hast retrieved a silver ball from a housing at the center. It bleeped, and a recorded message began to play.
"Redhaven, this is Grandmaster Vangerich. I have received Yendel's troubling information regarding Kubik's new experiments. Our suspicions that he is working entirely for the good of Mars and not the Imperium as a whole are being sadly borne out. We must prepare contingencies for a final solution. Yendel, gather information on this new venture. Find out what the Adeptus Mechanicus wants so many orc bodies for and what they are doing with them. Prime your Nusferic Plague Phage for release. If the Adeptus Mechanicus make their move, we shall decapitate the priesthood and destroy its informational network. Hast, hand over the care of Tybalt to Isolde. You are the most talented infiltrator in the cell. I want you to watch Kubik night and day. Build up a complete picture of his every habit. Operational level detail to be collated and submitted to me by the end of next week via the usual channels. Once you have this, Hast, you and Isolde are to find a suitable deployment site for Tybalt and secrete him nearby. Isolde, begin preparation to infiltrate Kubik's household as soon as Hast has performed her task. I want all three of you in position. One assassin may be stopped. Four cannot be."
"He's going to assassinate the Fabricator General of Mars? He's overstepping his office," said Raznik. "Can't you see that? Let me report to my superiors. If you go through with this, it'll mean civil war."
"Preparation does not betoken execution," said Isolde. "Preparedness is the watchword of the Officio Assassinorum."
"We're going to have to kill you, Raznik," said Hast. "Your task is great, but you have my utmost confidence," Vangerich was saying. "The survival of the Imperium hangs by a thread. No matter your duty, I know you will perform it without question. I know you will succeed."
"Raznik's death was the only outcome," said Isolde. "Did you think we might let him live, Hast?"
"No," Hast said. Raznik sank resignedly into the floor.
"Just make it quick," he said.
"Of course," said Isolde. "Suffering in this instance is of benefit to no one."
She took a small knife from an arm sheath. Its blue steel edges began to vibrate once it was drawn.
"Present your throat," said Isolde. "It's the quickest way."
"Vangerich hasn't finished yet," said Yendel. "Leave it."
"Finally," said Vangerich's recording, "there is an inquisitorial agent by the name of Raznik who has been assigned to follow you. If you have not already killed him, do not harm him. Make contact with him. It is in the interest of the Imperium that the Inquisition and Officio Assassinorum work together. Inquisitorial representative Veritas has placed the Inquisition's assets on Mars at our disposal. Raznik is the key to them."
Isolde bent down to Raznik and cut his bonds. The ties offered no more resistance to the blade than smoke. He sat up and rubbed his wrists.
"Today is my lucky day," he said.
"Good hunting, Redhaven," concluded Vangerich.
Hast dropped the ball. It hit the Plazcrete. She stamped on it hard, breaking it into pieces.
"Well then, my ladies," said Raznik from the floor, "what is our next move?"